from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Then when you're driving to work, from work, or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball and we'll be right there with you for the drive. If your company wants to reach an upscale male audience, then your company's ad should be running right here on this podcast. To get your company connected with this audience, email locked@lockedonpodcasts.com to get more details about increasing your business. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about yet another win for the San Francisco Giants. 3-2 in 16 innings over the New York Mets. Madison Bumgarner went 9 innings, allowed only 1 run. Very questionable decision in the 7th inning by Bochy. We're going to talk all about that because it's a little bit controversial, apparently. And yeah, just talk about the game. Another good game for Alex Dickerson, Mike Yastrzemski. Huge hit by Brandon Crawford, Donovan Solano. He hit the game winner. Kevin Pillar had a good game. So a lot to get into. Madison Bumgarner's trade value, where the team stands in terms of the trading deadline. Just so much to talk about. So we'll jump right in. With the win, the Giants improved to 48-49, just one game under 500. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They're just winning at a ridiculous rate right now. They've won 6 in a row. They improved to minus 37 in the run differential department. And worth noting that run differential has an expected win-loss record of 45-52, so they're still outperforming it by 3 wins. They remain 2.5 games back in the wild card, still 15 games out in the West. Getting into the game specifically, it didn't start out particularly well for Madison Bumgarner. He gave up a leadoff double on the first pitch of the game, and the Mets ended up scoring a run in the top of the first. But that was pretty much it for the Mets against Bumgarner. He just absolutely cruised through the rest of the game and ended up going 9 innings, allowing 1 run, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk, 5 hits, no homers. So before we talk about more of the game, we'll just talk about Madison Bumgarner's season numbers now and where he stands in terms of his trade value. So he's got a 3.65 ERA, 3.69 fielding independent pitching, and 3.97 expected fielding independent pitching based on putting the home run rate at the league average. So all three of those numbers are about 10 to 15% above average. And by above average, I do mean better than average. So he really has rebounded nicely after some rough outings about a month ago. I specifically remember saying that game in LA when they were playing all the water music after the Muncy splash hit in San Francisco, and then he just got rocked in LA, saying that was a low point for the Giants as a whole in, you know, multiple years coming. And for him personally, I called it the low point of his career. But since that moment in time, he has been absolutely on another level. That was actually June 20th, so the day before Alex Dickerson made his debut. That's pretty interesting because I did call that rock bottom for the franchise. And it does seem to be that might have actually been the rock bottom for them as a franchise, because the next day, Alex Dickerson arrived, and things have been very different ever since, including for Madison Bumgarner. So since that blow-up start in LA, in 29 innings, 5 games started, he has a 1.55 ERA, a 1.83 fielding independent pitching, and a 3.15 expected fielding independent pitching. So, you know, the FIP and the ERA are just fantastic in the mid-ones. And then even the xFIP at 3.15 is still really good. He's striking out over 30% of batters in that stretch, just 4.5% walk rate, and doing it with like a reasonable 306 batting average and balls in play against him. So he's just turned it on in the last 5 starts. He hasn't allowed a homer since June 25th. So really doing it at the perfect time in terms of if they do decide that they want to trade him, which now becomes more and more of a question because of how well they're playing. And You know, we talk a lot about how they have bullpen depth, and so they could afford to trade Smith even if they're playing well and fill out in another area of need for a controllable player. But starting pitching, you can't really say the same thing necessarily. Their starting pitching is a little bit shaky as it is, and Bumgarner is like the best guy of the group, it looks like, pretty clearly now. So if they were to trade him, it would be a big blow to their active 2019 team. That being said, I still do think they should trade him, because you're only going to get one opportunity to cash in on him in this rental situation. He's going to reach free agency, whether it's with the Giants or with some other team, once the season is over. But it becomes a little bit more of a question mark, because they're very much putting themselves into the conversation. And by July 31st, they could be in a much better position. It's possible. I mean, they're not that far out of actually being in a legitimately strong position for a playoff spot. And if that's the case, you can easily justify not trading him and just go with the idea that at least you can extend the qualifying offer and get draft pick compensation if he were to sign with another team. I still do think Will Smith, even Sam Dyson, like they probably will trade those guys regardless, but Madison Bumgarner, it becomes a little bit of a question, which can certainly be used as leverage by Farhan Zaidi. I mean, if the Giants are, you know, in last place and 25 games under 500, they don't have a lot of leverage. Teams understand that they want and will need to trade Madison Bumgarner. It would make no sense not to do it in that scenario. But now the Giants can say, hey, look, the offer has to be worthwhile. Otherwise, we're just going to hold on to this guy. And they can make that argument and look like they're not bluffing. Just an excellent game. There was, of course, the questionable decision to let him bat for himself in the bottom of the seventh inning. And we're going to talk all about that probably in the second half. Because for now, I want to just mention some of the other performers for the Giants in this actual game. So what else is new? Alex Dickerson led off the second inning with a triple that would have been a home run in probably 29 other parks. In the game, Dickerson went 3-for-7. He had another big hit in the 16th inning, led off the bottom of the 16th with a double, scored the tying run, and allowed the Giants to come back and win the game later. But the point about that second inning is they actually could not get him to score despite the leadoff triple, and this would happen another time later in the game. Two wasted leadoff triples. Mike Yastrzemski hit the other one. He ended up going 2-for-3 with the triple. And quietly, Yastrzemski has pushed himself to an above-average offensive player right now. He's doing it with a below-average on-base percentage, but it's still acceptable in the low 300s. And a high slugging average in the high 400s. So he's just been a solid overall contributor, kind of teeters on someone who at times looks overmatched, but then he does just enough to make you believe that he can stick around. And he has power, plays a good corner outfield, runs the bases well, has speed. So he's just been a solid contributor for the Giants and yet another feather in the cap of Farhan Zaidi in the Giants front office. Kevin Pillar came up big in this game. He hit a missile. He hit several balls hard in this game. Had a sack fly with the bases loaded in the bottom of the fourth, but it definitely could have been more. It took a nice leaping catch by J.D. Davis in left field to prevent it from being more than just a sack fly. And then, of course, Pillar had a huge hit in the bottom of the 16th as well. Buster Posey had not so great of a game. He looked helpless in his first several plate appearances, ended up striking out 4 times. Believe it is the only time in his career that he's struck out 4 times. Will Smith with a high wire act in the top of the 10th. The Mets got runners on second and third with no outs, but Will Smith was able to escape the inning without the Mets allowing a run. He ended up striking out 3 in the inning, and he was fired up coming off the mound. So that was good to see, because he had a bit of a rough road trip. Blew 2 saves, gave up some homers. So it looked like trouble was happening again, but he was able to escape the inning unscathed. Reyes Maranta, Tony Watson, Derek Holland, and Trevor Gott all pitched scoreless appearances in innings 11 through 14. Trevor Gott was especially nasty, striking out 3 1⅓. So coming up in the second half of the show, I want to talk about how the game ended and then really dive into this seventh inning decision by Bruce Bochy to let Madison Bumgarner hit for himself. So that's all coming up next, but first, okay, as promised, we'll talk about the conclusion of this game and then we want to dive into that decision by Bruce Bochy to let Madison Bumgarner hit for himself in the bottom of the seventh inning with the go-ahead run on third base. So as I've said, in the bottom of the 16th, Alex Dickerson, what else is new, led off the inning with a double down the right field line on a pitch that was several inches inside on like a cutter. So he somehow managed to pull his hands in and hook it down the line and keep it fair. What a pickup this has been for the Giants. He just continues to be a total force offensively and looking like their best offensive player right now, to be quite honest. Brandon Crawford then had a long at bat, swung at some pitches that would have been ball four, but fought them off and ended up hitting a double down the left field line, short hop the fence, scored Dickerson easily from second, and Crawford pulled into second, representing the winning run in the bottom of the 16th. Austin Slater was hit by a pitch. Kevin Pillar singled to left, and then Donovan Solano, who had come in, which was the right move by Bochy. You know, as soon as there was a lefty on the mound and panic was due up, they went to Donovan Solano. Good decision there, righty against the lefty. And what else is new? Donovan Solano went 2-for-4 in the game after entering as a pinch hitter. Ended up winning the game with a single to right field. So he's been so impressive as well and just continued, won the game last night for the Giants in the 16th. So I want to talk about this decision by Bruce Bochy to let Madison Bumgarner hit for himself in the 7th inning with the go-ahead run on third base. Mike Yastrzemski hit a leadoff triple. Kevin Pillar was up next and could not get Yastrzemski in from third with no outs. He hit a ground ball to third. Frazier looked the runner back and threw to first for the out. So then Mickey Callaway and the Mets immediately walk Joe Panik intentionally to put runners on the corners with one out in a 1-1 game with Madison Bumgarner due up. And so at this point, they had nobody warming up in the bullpen. And so Bochy, in my opinion, was caught a little bit off guard by this. It seemed like it might have actually been him, not that situation came up so fast and he was hoping Pillar would just get it done, I'm sure. But then immediately Pillar didn't get it done and then Panik was walked. And then all of a sudden here comes Bumgarner. And he is not the guy you want batting in that situation. I get it. He had thrown 7 very efficient innings. I think he was only at like 76 pitches. So he was easily going to be able to go out there in the 8th, arguably the 9th as well, and beyond, which he did end up doing. But the fact is, the Giants have a really strong bullpen. There were a lot of justifications for this post-game on the post-game show, saying the bullpen was really taxed and they had worked a lot in Colorado and Milwaukee. But at the end of the day, you're in a 1-1 game late in the game. And so if you don't score, there's just as much, if not more, risk that you're going to go to extra innings, in which case you might need to use your bullpen more than you would have to if you potentially took Bumgarner out. The whole point of taking him out in that situation is to try to score the go-ahead run, which does save your bullpen. If you go to Madison Bumgarner, he's not likely to get the runner in from third, or at least he's significantly less likely than Stephen Vogt, who probably was the obvious candidate to pinch hit there. So I did not like that decision at all. It seemed immediately like an overstep, an overreach from Bochy, putting a little bit too much confidence in Madison Bumgarner at the plate and a little too much emphasis on trying to keep him in the game on the mound. I get it. He was pitching well, but you have a strong bullpen. You're only going to need 2 innings out of them if you score the go-ahead run. I just don't think the smaller chance of getting that runner in from third was worth extending your starting pitcher into the 8th and 9th inning. So we'll talk more about the reaction on the post-game show to this, but first we'll talk about what actually transpired. So predictably, Bumgarner struck out against Noah Syndergaard. Okay, it's a righty-on-righty matchup, and Madison Bumgarner is not a good hitter, okay? So we need to get that out of our minds. It's a little bit of a myth that he's actually a good hitter. He's been okay for a pitcher. He had a couple of strong seasons where he really was a threat. But all told in his career, he's hitting 179 with a 226 on base and a 305 slugging. That's in 648 plate appearances. He also strikes out 37% of the time. And over the last 2 years, he's been striking out around 50% of the time. So in the post game, a lot of the commentary, Tim Flannery specifically, very old school guy, former third base coach for the Giants, has gone off on Twitter rampages. Essentially, he hates anything new school whatsoever. He loves things like this. And he, to him, this was like his favorite thing of the year. He says he'll never forget it. He loves the decision by Bochy. And there's so much hypocrisy in this analysis. And I'm not trying to call out Flannery. I just really, really disagree with him on this point. So Flannery is a guy who will be the first to tell you that he hates strikeouts in situations like this, where you have a runner on third, less than 2 outs, you can make an out, and get a run. He loves productive outs. This is a very old school thing that people love versus the new school. It's like, hey, don't even make it out. How about hit a ball into the gap? And that's a preferred outcome than making it out there. I get it. Sometimes you'll take the out to score the run. That was one of those times in the seventh inning there. But so Flannery hates the strikeout in that situation, and yet you want the guy up there who has like a 55% strikeout rate on the season, 37% in his career, and 50% over the last 2 years combined. That doesn't make any sense at all. The one thing Bumgarner had going for him is he doesn't hit a lot of ground balls, so if he does put the ball in play, he had a chance to put one in the air. But against Noah Syndergaard, my goodness, I mean, the chances were low that Bumgarner would be able to get the job done, at least relative to a real hitter like Steven Vogt. Predictably, he didn't get the job done. The Giants did not score, and the game ended up going 16 innings. And so you didn't save the bullpen. Yes, it was heroic. Bumgarner went 9 innings. But at the end of the day, you want to take the run there, get the 2 innings, and go home with a win. And so the fact that Tim Flannery was so adamant about how this was a great decision is just demonstrating a clear and unreasonable bias, because it did not work. They kept saying, yeah, well, they won the ballgame. They got lucky to win the ballgame. They gave up a run in the top of the 16th. They were out of pitchers. They had Dyson and Melanson, who were unavailable, even though Dyson didn't pitch in the previous game, so that was weird. But the fact is, they were fortunate to escape that game with a win. You're going to lose that game more often than not, giving up a run in the top of the 16th to fall behind. So it did not work. It was not a smart process. I mean, he was destined to not do well. At least they also said, Tim Flannery literally said, he had as good of a chance as anybody else to get the job done. And there's no justification for that. He had a much worse chance. He's been 55% below average offensively compared to like offense in general in baseball in his career. 55% below average versus someone like Steven Vogt is above average. And then the high strikeout rate, and that's exactly what you don't want in that situation. And specifically, Flannery hates the strikeout in that situation. He hates guys who strike out where a productive out is in play, and that's exactly what Madison Bumgarner represented there. So just a clear and unreasonable bias towards old school mentality. He loves the faith in the starting pitcher, saying, this is your game, go win it, win it with the bat, win it on the mound. But he didn't. He pitched well in the eighth and ninth, but the bullpen is likely to do well in the eighth and ninth as well if you take the lead using your top guys. So I thought it was one of the worst decisions by Bochy of the year, and Flannery called it like the best decision he's ever seen. So that's just a very, very strong disagreement that we have there. I thought it was interesting. Flannery is right. He says you're not going to see this much longer. It's a very, very old school thing. He was a huge fan because of that fact. I thought, wow, this is not a smart decision. And he's right. You're not going to see this anymore after Bochy is gone. There's no way the next manager of the Giants would do that, because that's just not a smart and winning baseball decision in 2019 and beyond. It's like, if he got the job done, I could understand Flannery walking around tooting his own horn, saying how he loves the decision and he loves Bochy showing faith in Bumgarner there, but he didn't get it done, and it cost them. The whole idea was to save the bullpen, and it totally backfired, and they had to totally overextend their bullpen. So it's really hard for me to see like how he can justify gloating about the decision when it completely backfired. Anyway, coming up tonight, the Giants will take on the Mets in game 2 of this 4-game series. Tyler Beede on the mound opposing Jacob deGrom. So the Giants will have quite a task ahead of them. deGrom is very talented, obviously. We'll see the lefties in there, Dickerson, maybe even Vogt. Posey did not really have a good game yesterday, so it might be a chance for the Giants to use Vogt. Yastrzemski should be in there as well. So it should be a lot of fun. We'll be back with another episode on Monday talking about whatever goes down over the weekend between the Giants and the Mets. We will also have an emergency podcast if any kind of trade happens over the weekend, so be sure to look for that if something does go down. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter, @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. On the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. I cannot wait to be with you again on Monday, and until then, we'll see you next time.